This is 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk, and it's November 20th, 2019. Welcome to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment, you'd like to contribute information to the show, and are listening live, Fran's right by there by the phone, 860-486-9487, or you can email me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. If you're listening to this on podcast, you can send an email to bicycletalk1@gmail.com, or you can visit and comment at Bicycle Talk on Facebook. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org or on iTunes. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. Here we go, Ron's rant of the week. Oh, I love my bicycle friends that share all sorts of great, wonderful information with me. So the state of Connecticut transportation budget, Governor Ned Lamont there's a budget plan out there for $21 billion, and it would increase the capacity on the state's highways. But the critics say that it can lead to more gridlock. There's a wonderful article in the Hartford Courant about this. If you'd like to read it, it'll give you some feedback. I'm going to cover a few of those things right now. We're just going to go over a couple of things here. The reason it comes up as Ron's rant of the week is because there's no money in a $21 billion budget for, you got it, bicycles and pedestrians. You know, I mean, transportation is transportation. It is not the Department of Cars and Trucks. It is the Department of Transportation. Transportation can occur in many different ways. Your two legs will give you transportation. Your two legs pedaling a bicycle will give you transportation. Your two legs, one maybe on the skateboard and one off the skateboard, can give you transportation. The point is that you have to come up with ways to get everyone involved here and stop thinking about the whole fossil fuel, you know, and fossils. Where do fossils come from? They come from dinosaurs. Dinosaurs come from an age that happened a long time ago, and we're still playing around with their remains. We got to stop this. We got to start looking forward at how we can do better with alternative transportation, saving the earth, saving the world, saving something. But $21 billion and not a word about pedestrian or bicycle? Come on. This is terrible. So that is my rant. It is dubbed CT2030 if you want to know more about it. My friend Tony Charolis, thank you, Tony, for sending this out. I know you're listening because we've been back and forth with each other this morning about a few things. Anyway, Tony's with the Center for Latino Progress, and he has a quote in this article in the Harvard Current: a plan that includes interstate and state route expansion and capacity increases under the guise of addressing choke points will result in additional miles driven and pressure for continued development of Connecticut's farms, forests, and rural green spaces, Trolla said in an email. Both of those outcomes will reduce air quality, increase greenhouse gas emissions. Any congestion reduction benefits of increased interstate lanes or state route intersection expansion will be temporary. And we know this. We know this from the past. We know this from Route 95, which is an interstate which comes through Connecticut. And it was at capacity, I think, right after they finished building it and improving it. It was at capacity in like 1965. It's crazy. It's the congestion that comes into New England through that one road right there. They're missing the point. They transport things in different ways. Use the trains. Trains are kind of a viable way of doing it. I'm sitting here with a truck driver, and we're going to have this discussion in a little bit, but we'll talk a little bit more because I don't want to take away anyone's livelihood here. But on the other hand, you know, we got to rethink things. That's all there is to it. So anyway, Gannon Long, a Hartford community activist and the assistant coordinator of Transport Hartford, said Lamont's proposal is defined as much by what it lacks as what it contains. Anyway, there's no mention of bicycles at all in the article in the proposal. Despite spending $21 billion, you have zero investments in bike lanes, bike racks, or any type of bike infrastructure. The proposal also devotes scant attention to sidewalks, she said. This clearly was not written by people who work, walk, or bike for transportation, or even take a bus. So, further discussion, go to Facebook. I posted all this on my Facebook page, at the Bicycle Talk Facebook page. If you want to get involved in this conversation, I would love to hear your end of it. If the DOT is listening, I know you're out there because we saw a representative from you at Bike Walk Connecticut's annual dinner. If you're listening, talk to us. Talk to us. We care more about everyone than we do about cars and trucks. So let's change the attitude at the Department of Transportation, turn them into the Department of Transportation, and think about transportation in other ways. That's my rant. That's it. I said it. I did it. Speaking of which, I'm going to go on to the positive side of the show. And the positive side was, you're going to love this one, Franny. Peddlin' Ron was on the radio. Huh? Wait a second, we're on the radio right now. Yes, yesterday I was invited to be on the Wayne Norman Show on WILI in Willimantic. And Wayne is the longest running radio host definitely in the state, possibly the country. He's been doing it for a long, long time. He'll also note him as one of the voices of the Yukon Huskies for the basketball games and other athletic events. Anyway, Wayne has a morning show, and he invited me in to talk about my downtown Willimantic Airline Trail project. So there is a clip on my Facebook page if you would like to hear it. He sent over an audio file, place where you can go and you can actually listen to it. So check it out and see what you think. We talked all about the future of the airline trail development in downtown Willimantic and actually moving the trail from where it is right now and putting it in a better place, which will help stimulate business and commerce in Willimantic. So anyway, it's kind of interesting talk, interesting show. It's my positive side. I've been pushing this idea for probably at least 20 years. And I finally have gotten some attention, and the downtown business people in Willimantic are looking at this as a really forward-moving project, and that's my positive side. I get really excited over this stuff. This is why I do what I do. So anyway, check out on Facebook at Bicycle Talk. Check out the interview with Wayne Norman, and big shout out and thank you to Wayne. Maintenance Minute. I'm going to bring up this. This is we're running into the holidays here, and so we have a lot of cyclists out there that might be listening to this, or maybe their significant others or family members or friends or whatever might listen to the show and all. I'm going to give a shout out to, and I don't generally endorse companies on the show, but I will direct you to a website which I think is important, and it would be www.parktool.com, and it is for the Park Tool Company, and the Park Tool Company has been making bicycle tools for an eternity, as far as I know. I mean, I think they really started coming in when I got into the bicycle industry, which was back in the 70s. And before that, we could get VAR tools, we could get Campy tools, we could get different tools that were coming out of Europe. But then Park came in and they started producing tools here in the United States. And they've been doing it for a very, very long time. And why I'm talking about them right now is there's all sorts of really cool links that you can go to. You can check out some of their videos that are out there, maybe learn a little bit more about fixing your bike or just maintaining your bike so that it doesn't turn into a major disaster when you walk into the local bike shop. The local bike shop loves to work on major disasters, but you know, they also like to work on bikes that are appreciated. So it's a good time to kind of look those things over, get some ideas, and then pass those ideas onto your wish list for the holidays, should you have a wish list or a holiday celebration. So that's my maintenance minute. I'm not going to get too involved in it, but I would like you to think about that. Think about, you know, it, because how many times do you get a gift during a birthday or a holiday or some sort of event of Mother's Day, Father's Day, whatever it may be, and you go, oh, that's nice. Get something you like. Get something you want. Get something you need. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Maybe you can fix the neighbor's bikes and keep them on the road because they can't afford to have their bikes fixed. It's all good. It's all real, real good. So, anyway, Moving on, I have a guest here this morning. He has been here before. He competed in the Raleigh-sponsored Century Road Club of America team that put Americans on the podium in European stage races. He has coached LeMond, the first to win the Tour de France, and many other top American riders as the coach of the U.S. national team. He is a member of the U.S. Bicycling Hall of Fame Board of Directors, and he continues to coach and produce races across the country. Inspirational storyteller, author, truck driver, father, and retired cyclist, and special guest and repeat visitor to the show, none other than the bike guy, Bill Humphreys.
Hey, Ron.
How's that for an introduction?
That's lengthy.
Yeah.
Very nice. Very
well,
nice.
You know, it's appropriate. You know, that as we get, not to pull the age thing here, but as we get older, our introductions get longer because we accomplish more along the way, right?
That's true.
You know, we got to look at this in a very, very positive way. So I even did this, and I sent this over to Fran so she could see. I have the picture.
Oh, my gosh.
The old picture here of the members of the Raleigh boys. And at the Fitchburg-Lonzo Classic race in 74, Dave Chauner, Doug Dale, Bill Humphreys, John Howard, Stan Swaim, and John Allis. And kneeling is Flip
Waldteufel.
Waldteufel. Okay.
The chef.
He's the chef.
Yeah, he's the chef.
He's
from
your
San Francisco.
Soigneur, and yeah.
Yeah, he yeah. was. He would leave to go racing, and he'd be a top chef, and they'd start calling the East Coast. Wrong about end of August, he had to go back to work. So
Bill is follows me apparently, and I get little notes from him every now and then of things that are going on in his life, and he's got quite a little project going on here right now, and he's here to talk to us about it.
Yes, thanks, Ron. Last year I put together a Raleigh Boys reunion, only I wanted to do it in Ireland. I said, you know, we haven't been back there since we raced there in 73 and in 75. The race, you know, went on for 15 or 20 years, the Tour of Ireland, 8 days, you know, 750 miles. And I started thinking, well, why don't we do it in Ireland, and why don't we get some of the Irish guys together and just ride a limited amount and, you know, hit the pubs, tell some stories, and just have a great old time. And I put together 20 people, including some guys that raced there with me. We had Leonard Zinn from Velo News, who raced the Tour of Ireland. We got a bunch of people. And we had the time of our life, just cruising about 40, 45 miles a day and telling stories and sightseeing. 20 people, some of which didn't ride at all. I had a great time regardless. There's so much to do. You don't have to be an avid, wacko, out-of-your-mind cyclist to enjoy this type of a reunion ride. And it's so successful, I said, well, it's got enough energy. And Phil Liggett, who could not make it last year and tried his best, said, you know, I really want to come. So I said, well, let's do it again. So this is the last hurrah, and Phil Liggett will
so
be
So Phil's
there.
Going to be there?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
How cool.
Yeah, so
that's totally
it's
cool.
Scheduled for June 7th through 13th in the southwestern part of Ireland, and we will ride, you know, and just party and just tell stories and hook up with some Irish guys and have great dinners, and the coffee stops, you know, with the espresso and the pastries are to die for. You know, it's just, you can't go wrong. And so it's on again. And, you know, and I do have a few spots left. I've been, surprisingly, I have about 6 or 7 people from last year who signed up again. And it's starting to fill up. But the deadline is coming up this Saturday. To get a deposit in.
Right.
So if anybody out there is interested in a non-hammerhead but fun, ride your bike, drink some beer, tell some stories, hang out with Phil Liggett type of an event, which I can't imagine anybody not being interested.
How could you not be? Yeah, I would love to do something like this. That would be great.
It is. It's a,
It'd be really cool.
You got to be prepared to have fun, and if you're not, then don't bother. You know?
I don't ride my bike unless I'm having fun anymore.
Exactly.
That whole competitive thing. That was a page of history.
Been here, done that.
Here, done that, exactly. And, you know, I have Ron's rule number one, of course, and Fran has heard this so many times, she's rolling her eyes over there, but that's okay. That's radio Roll Your Eyes. I mentioned it. I will ride with you. I will not ride against you, and I expect the same from you.
Very good.
So
very
you can good. Exercise that rule whenever you wish, exactly. But that's kind of the way I feel. Because, you know, if you got something to prove, if you're really feeling like you got to go out there and show everybody what you're all about, then go buy yourself a license, put a number on your back, and go do it.
Exactly.
That's what we did.
Yeah.
You know, and now I'm not interested in that anymore.
No,
I'm much more interested in talking to old friends about great stories and you know, going out riding my bike and just laughing and just having a great time and then teaching people what I know. That's a big one right there. It's just pass it on, you know, pay it forward, I think is what they call it.
Right.
But,
right.
Yeah. So, yeah. So this sounds like a great time.
It's a hoot. And like I said, if anybody at the last minute realizes, geez, that sounds like good and wants more information, you know, Bill at BikeGuy@gmail.com or contact Ron. He'll forward info to me.
I'll be able to get a hold of Bill, no problem at all.
We have some spots left. They're going to fill up shortly. And one of the things I'm doing this winter, and I did this at Philadelphia at the Philly Bike Expo, is I do public speaking at bike shops and bike club meetings in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
When the doldrums are in and someone's having a wine tasting or a craft beer event.
We should bring you in for our annual, meeting dinner thing that we do. We do a big potluck dinner for the Thread City Cyclists. Or we also do a spring kickoff event. We do an ice cream social
kickoff event. That's what I'm
doing. We should talk about that.
Yeah,
fun
and part of my presentation is I show the original footage from the 1973 Tour of Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And I hit pause and tell a few stories, and we get through that, and then I show them the slideshow of the reunion we had, where the same guys they just saw 45 years ago are all in their 70s, still riding over the gap of Mamour. I mean, the fact that this sport is such that you can go ride those same roads that you rode when you were a youngster, you know, is just phenomenal. And so that's my evening presentation. It's about an hour long. I ran it by Phil Liggett. He totally endorses the whole idea of it.
I saw an earlier presentation you did when you were endorsing your book, and we had gone down to Mystic or Stonington or somewhere, and we saw that. And I brought my friends with me. One is a steady listener of the show and actually was a guest on the show because he's done that you know, Ride Across America, you know, supported ride your butt off over 100 miles a day.
Right.
And he's just an amazingly fit guy. And so he was fascinated by it. So we all went down together and we had a great time.
I've gotten it a little bit more dialed in as the years have gone by. And Philly Bike Expo, you know, I had like 25 people come in. And
that's great. Tell me about the Philly Bike Expo. Well, those guys were begging me to come down, and I of course, I have other commitments, so I was not able to make it. But
you know, they've worked very hard and very long. And I remember when it was out in the country in smaller venues, and it's worked its way into the city. Now it's at the convention center.
Oh, nice!
Now it's like packed, and because there's no more Interbike,
right?
You know, and there's no other show on the East Coast. Chicago has consumer shows.
Right.
Seattle has consumer shows.
Well, CABDA's growing. Chicago Bicycle Show is growing.
Right. But there's nothing on the East. And
this,
you know, they have just plodded along, and now they're solid as a rock. I mean, the place was jammed with exhibitors and people. I mean, you could hardly move around in there.
Yeah. So I love those guys. Yeah. They have a lot of good energy.
They do.
They're really a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We see them occasionally at the Farm to Fork Fondos because they'll come up and they'll be doing one of those to promote the event. And,
I hadn't been in maybe 5 or 6 years, and it was worth a trip down there for me. And then the next day, of course, there was a big gravel ride that started at the Trexlertown Velodrome with Andrea Taffy, who won Paris-Roubaix,
and
Robin Morton and her group, the GP4 women that produce fantastic events.
Yep.
So I dabbled in that and went over and rode that event the next day and came home. So it's a great weekend down there in Philly.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're gravel grinding. I got a little bit in the conversations we've been having recently, just by text and all. It sounds like you caught on to you got the bug.
I did. I last year, I was approaching Raleigh one more time for sponsorship of this reunion. And I had to go to the UK because, that's where the event was.
Right.
And it turns out, you ready for this? They did not have a bike offering in the UK that suited our demographic and our type of riding.
Really?
That they could actually market around it.
Wow.
So, and I just said, how is that possible that
right.
you don't have a $3,000 race bike or road bike that's available?
Right.
You've slipped. You've gone either side of that, but you haven't really focused on that. And you're relaunching in a couple more years, like this year.
Yeah.
But I caught them in a moment where they didn't have anything to market. But in the meantime, I said to a good friend of mine who works on the American side, I said, I want to get into this gravel thing. And I don't have the money. I said, the sport's gotten so expensive that old timers like me, we can't even afford it.
Yeah, I hear you.
I have some well-placed friends this many years later that are still in the industry that I lean on for parts.
Same here.
And I've told them, you got to give me a year notice before you retire so I can stock up because.
Right, right. No, I get it. I totally get it.
We all have to depend on our contacts. And they're all about ready to retire, so
quite a few of them are.
Yeah,
yeah.
But anyway, I said to Raleigh, and they said, "What kind of bike do you want for your birthday?" Because last year's reunion was part of my 75th birthday.
Yeah.
And I said, "Well, I want a gravel bike." And they said, "Will this do?" And they sent me a picture, and I said, "Yeah."
Yeah.
Next thing you know, here it is.
There
at
it
my
is.
Door, a gravel bike by Raleigh.
So we have this ride from our house that you can go on if you're interested.
Yeah.
And we went, I'm trying to remember, we went there with Randy and Matt. Remember, Fran? We left our house, and we live less than 2 miles from the airline trail.
Right.
And so we rode the airline trail north, and then when we got up into the Hampton area, we hopped onto a little road called Griffin Road, and all for about 15 or 20 feet, and then you make a right-hand turn. Now you're on a gravel road, which does and circles all the way around the Natchog Forest. So there's all sorts of gravel road out there. It's great. It's so cool.
I've been looking at that. Yeah.
And we actually did the Ashford gravel grinder this year, and we came back down through that way and on a road that I actually hadn't been on in a really long time. It was one of the other roads that spun off of that. But I could show you a really cool ride. And that ride was like 27 miles, I think, by the time we were done. And it's just, mostly gravel, a little bit of pavement in there because it connects, connecting the dots and all that. But, it's just fun.
That segment is growing faster than any other segment in cycling.
It's huge.
Yeah.
And I kind of look at it and I sort of roll my eyes when I see it because, I'm a cyclocross guy.
Yeah.
And I was doing cross back in, when we've had this discussion with Doug Dale back in the 70s.
Right.
And when, a dozen guys would show up to go race their bikes on a ready, set, go, no officials, nothing. We just went out and did it. And now I watch and I see where it's all gone and I see where my race is and the whole cyclocross New England thing is huge, and now gravel grinding has come in, and so you see people that are, it's a crossover.
Yeah.
It really is, and I think that it's not mountain biking, right. But you can ride your gravel grinder on a mountain bike ride without any trouble.
I found myself back on single track because I followed some dirt roads until they became, and then all of a sudden I look around and I'm going, You're not on a dual suspension. You're not on
no.
a front suspension. You're not a young man, and you are out here. Nobody
yeah.
knows where you are.
And you have to ride your bike.
Yeah.
And so it's a different skill set, but you've got that skill set from the years of, you just have so much history that's in your body and in your legs.
Yeah.
And so, you see a situation where, you just read it and do it. And
yes.
And it's really, I just think it's a blast. I've told this story before. I'll tell it again. The I went to a mountain bike race with three of my friends, one of the very first mountain bike races. I think it was put on by Wayfarer Bicycle Shop down in New London. And it was one of the first ones out there because Bob was pretty cutting edge back then. You know, he's doing some cool stuff. So anyway, we go to this race and they looked at us and they said, "You can't ride those here." And we said, "Why? Why not? You know, there's nothing in your brochure or your information that says we can't." And they just laughed at us and said, you're gonna kill your bikes here. There's no way you're gonna do it." We took 1, 2, 3, and 4, and we were told never to come back with those bikes, but then we could come back with a mountain bike. You know, and it comes down to the fact that we were all cross racers, and we just, you know, we were experienced with dealing with difficult situations, and when it got too difficult, you just made the obvious choice. You hopped off your bike, threw up in your shoulder, ran. And you know, don't hurt yourself over it, or your bike or your equipment. That drives me nuts. So anyway, you know, I have a love hate relationship with the mountain bike people because they give me a hard time. They're always like, "You should get a mountain bike. You should do this."
The gravel thing is starting to. It's starting to morph into adventure racing, you know.
So
segments of these gravel rides have an adventure section, and that's an option.
And I'm not going to not to discount it at all. I know some people who have been pretty hurt on their on their gravel bikes because you know they've taken a chance they probably shouldn't have, and they've gone down pretty hard.
I'm very cautious.
And it happens, but I'm at a point in my life where cautious is probably the better decision. And if I want to continue to do this like my friend Saul does, and he's 92 years old, and he rode 92 kilometers on his 92nd birthday this
past
year. And Fran was with him for that. So
terrific. Terrific.
So you know, if I want to get there, then I got to start paying attention to
bone density, one thing.
My biggest one to get away from, and it's going to be really, really difficult, is going down hills on my road bike and just not exhibiting any fear. I just love descending.
Yeah, that's a problem.
And it is a problem because even my young friends can't keep up with me, and they just look at me and go, "How the heck do you do that?" And I said, "Well, you got to turn off a certain corner of your brain and then just let it go and have some fun, you know, and just enjoy it." And I still do. But I do have a number of friends that have said, "You know what? We're not doing that anymore. We're using the brakes now when we go downhill." And I just go, "Ah."
Especially, you know, well, with a gravel bike and the wider tire and not much tire pressure and disc brakes.
You can
really let it go.
But you can also get yourself in awful lot of trouble in a very short.
Just as easily and at speed, and it doesn't. It's not going to discriminate. It's a body hitting the pavement.
Or rocks or trees or whatever there happens to be. We did. There was a section of the Ashford gravel grinder that was probably a choice that would have been better to have made on a full suspension mountain bike. Yeah. It was really like we're talking bowling ball size boulders.
And
a lot of people did. Fran did. She definitely did. So you know, those are the choices you make. I of course, you know, just looked at it and got a big grin on my face and started dancing around on all these bouldery things and watching these people on mountain bikes scratching their heads trying to figure out how to get through it. And I'm just like dancing my way through and having a blast.
Yeah.
But it's definitely you're being positioned for a microphone over there.
Right.
There you go. So anyway, you know, everybody's got their thing, but you know, using your better choice and knowing that you want to go out and ride again tomorrow is probably the wiser choice.
Yeah, and especially if you've got like a trip to Ireland coming up in your future, you definitely don't want to put that in jeopardy. So.
Yeah, that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big deal.
You
want
to stay healthy and so you can get there and just relax and enjoy it. And it's, you know.
Right. So how many people do you think you have going on this now?
Well, right now I'm right around 12 and I'd like to have 20. And I'm actually making a trip up to the ski rack in Burlington, Vermont, where they're having their 50th year anniversary party.
Right.
And
Spike
is still there, and I will see Spike, and I'll see Zandy Wheeler, and many old timers, because I was an employee there when I was riding my bike across America, and they did an article on it recently, and they mentioned me, and I've said, well, geez, I'm hooking up with a guy named John Williams who worked there then. The place has such great history, and helped launch me into being a ski bum in Sugar Bush for two winters, you know, where I actually went from a total obscurity at moving down to New Jersey and making the U.S. team and then coming back to Sugar Bush to work another winter. So I have strong connections. And then, of course, ending up training in Vermont for so many years and living in Burlington again with Chawner and Gromek and training for international races. I haven't been back in a while, and so
it's
looking forward. And I'm sure I'll recruit some folks for Ireland while I'm up there. And I'm hooking up with guys like Bob Gray. I mean, you got to understand, a lot of the people on these reunions, we haven't seen each other in 45 years.
Yeah.
And the bond is like there, and they are immediately busting your chops.
Oh, yeah.
And riding next to you and recalling stories that you've forgotten or wish you could forget.
Yeah, right. You know? Better yet.
Like, you know, last year, I mean, when we rode over the Gap of Memoir, John Howard walked over it the last time in 1973.
Really?
And it's on the footage of John walking. Here's our premier rider of the 70s, three Olympic teams. But he is on video walking over the Gap of Memoir. So John came on the trip, and when we rode the Gap of Memoir this time, John was not putting a foot down. You can be sure.
Really?
Oh, he stopped it. Oh, he killed it. He was the first one over out of a bunch of us.
Oh, that guy held like the land speed record on a bicycle. He did everything.
All these Irish guys were like bowing down.
Oh, yeah. He's a legend. He's totally a legend.
They couldn't wait to see him. Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, my baggage that I had to carry all these years was losing a sprint and a three-up sprint to a Dublin rider, and I forever got my balls busted for not winning that sprint because they all sat on me and nobody realized that was only my first year of serious racing.
Right, right.
And Paddy Doran was, you know, it went on to become one of the best. He's still one of the most active coaches in Ireland. He's very well respected.
Yeah.
He doesn't ride. I wanted to challenge him to another sprint on the last
reunion. Yeah, really.
Reunion.
I need to get even here,
you know,
or something. Get another chance.
But he said, Billy, I'm not fit. I coach, but I don't ride. And,
and he
said, why don't we just have a few drinks and talk about it?
Sure.
And he presented me with like a large bottle of Bushmills 15-year-old whiskey.
Nice.
Let's bury the hatchet. And I says, geez, Patty, you know, we're going home in a couple of days. I can't take that back on the plane with me. And he just looked at me and said, we got work to do. So it's that type of a trip, folks. If you really want to have fun and hear some great stories.
Oh, my God.
Don't ride
too
hard because there's just so much to see and do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. That's great. I have been to Ireland once. I went in many years ago. I ran the Dublin Marathon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. And I, it was an interesting time in my life. There were a lot of changes going on in my life at the time, and five of my friends and I went over to Dublin to run the marathon, and it was a hoot. You know, we had a really good time. I had a little too good of a time,
okay.
And because I did, I discovered the Irish bars.
Yes.
And when I discovered the Irish bars, I discovered dancing with cute little Irish women, and no offense, Franny, I know.
These are problems we all have to overcome.
It was a big problem because 5 miles into the race.
Oh, this is before the race. Yes.
Yeah, it was before the race. It was before the race. Okay. 5 miles into the race, I'm, you know, looking at my watch, and I'm looking at my heart rate monitor because I had a heart rate monitor at the time, and I'm thinking, this is not good. I'm not in a good place right now. And I was running with a friend of mine, and I just looked at him and said, John, go. You got to go without me. And he said, what's going on? I said, the numbers tell me that this is not going to be a good situation if I continue to be here. And he goes, are you all right? And I said, Oh, I'm just fine. I'm just. This is not going to be a good race for me. So I'm just going to
move on.
I'm just going to back it off.
Yeah, that.
And I
did
back it off, but I still blew up at mile 16. So I had a 10-mile death march.
Yes.
So
yes.
15 or 16, I think, is when I blew up. So
well, that's
wasn't
where
good.
That's where we all coast and pull over and have coffee in Ireland. So
that's. I like it. I like the concept. It sounds really good. Sounds really good. So yeah. So Ireland is. I have to say, it's like one of the friendliest places I've ever been. The people are just so nice there, and
warm. They've all either lived here in some town, so or they have some relative or a close friend that's currently living here.
Yeah,
and I mean, we're out in the country, in the like in the southwest or way up north, and you're in a pub, and they automatically know where you live and who you. You know, they can relate to you so well.
It's amazing.
And tourism is the number one industry there, and so they all know your money. When you're riding and you're blocking traffic, traffic's not even honking their horns. They wait for you when you finally pull over, and they all come by you, and nobody's honking their horn or giving you the finger or anything.
Wow.
Because they know your money. You come
right,
here to
right.
spend money and ride your bike.
What exactly.
You know, it's,
exactly. You're helping us.
Yeah.
So we can wait a few minutes.
Yeah. You can't.
Boy, I wish we could pass that attitude on around here. That would be wonderful, wouldn't it?
It might not just be about the money. They may actually be genuinely friendly people.
Well, no, they are. And they will help you no matter what.
They are amazingly friendly people.
Yeah.
I digress back to the Irish bar, but. You know, you go to the Irish bar, and it's not like you're going to a bar here.
No, it's
like you're going in, and you see, you know, a family
right.
there. And it's not, and when I'm talking about a family, I'm talking little kids. And,
yeah.
And everybody brings their instrument, because I think everyone plays an instrument in Ireland. It's crazy how many people play instruments. And they may be playing the pipe that they call it a whistle, I think is what they call it. It's like a little flute type thing is what it is. Or they're playing,
Boran.
The
drum.
The drum. Mm-hmm. And then they also, you know, they have guitars and fiddles, lots of fiddles. Boy, do they like their fiddles. And they're just, you know, coming in at leisure, and then they sit down and open up their instrument case and just hop in and start playing.
Yes.
People are dancing.
Yes.
The dogs are there.
Yes.
They bring the dogs with them. It's the most incredible interesting atmosphere I've ever been in my life.
Yeah.
And it was just like, you know, they go to the bars to relax.
Exactly.
It
sounds
like
Newfoundland. It's part of the social structure over there, you know.
Yeah, well, Newfoundland's got to be very similar.
Very similar.
Yes.
It's definitely a spin-off, right?
I was fortunate enough to ride the tour of Newfoundland.
There's a tour of Newfoundland?
There was when they celebrated their 25th anniversary of independence.
25th?
Yeah, this was 1974.
You mean the 25th of Confederation,
yes.
Not independent.
Right.
Oh, I see. Independent. I see what you're saying.
Right.
Federation.
So they
yeah.
had a bike race from one end of it to the other, and I was on the U.S. team with it, and I got the fortunate to ride there, and I immediately related to Ireland.
It's not independent. It's the other way.
Whatever.
They became.
Whatever.
Well,
I was just a bike rider. Yeah, I was just racing.
It's kind of a distinct because they went from being a country to being a Canadian province.
Exactly. And so they had a big celebration, a bike race, and I immediately said, this is so much like Ireland, I couldn't get over it.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It's great.
Very, very lovely people.
I really, you know, we need to get back there. We need to get back there at some point.
To Ireland or Newfoundland?
No, to Ireland.
Newfoundland.
Yeah, we should go to Newfoundland.
It's closer.
It is closer.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I know people there. I have actually friends there.
And we could probably ride our bikes when we were there.
We could totally ride our bikes there.
Yeah.
It will not be easy. St. John's is not easy because St. John's is very hilly. It's like riding in Philadelphia. It's hilly.
Well, we have hills.
We're talking walls.
Yeah,
they have some walls there.
What's that famous wall in Philly that they race on?
Oh, Manayunk Wall.
Manayunk Wall, right.
Manayunk Wall. Yeah.
Boy, I'll tell you, that's another thing. Yeah. 27 years they put that race on in downtown Philly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing.
Is that still happening or did they?
No, it's been stopped for a while now.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, they had a women's race on it and then that's gone. And so there's not a big event in Philly as such, but the bike show is growing. So
yeah, the bike show is really.
And they're looking at some. You know, Dave Johnner is still trying to build a track down there, so he's not given up, and he's making some progress. So
in Philly, proper?
He's found a piece very close to downtown. He was looking way outside for many years.
Because they have Trexler Town.
Yeah, but we're talking indoor.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Kind of like what Sue Daniello is trying to do.
It's the same Hamden group.
Right.
Chauner's group is working with her, and they're working.
Oh, no kidding.
They're working both.
I got to get Susie on the air here with us one day.
Yeah.
Talk about that. Because she's just, you know, I mean, she's, she is, what do they call her? Big Mama at the bike shop is what they always call her, Big Mama Sue.
Yeah.
And she's just, you know, because she runs the show, or she did. Kurt, her son, is now running the show.
Yeah, he is.
So
he's
doing that. And Guy is massaging people because he's
And he's
just
still
loves
as fit as
that.
A day, you know, he's
I know.
Still very fit.
So. I know. And, yeah, and we started racing bikes together back when I started racing.
Well, he's got his Christmas party coming up at the bike shop. You ought to check with him because his Christmas party is to die for, man.
Is it really?
Oh, my God.
Yeah?
Oh. Food is unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah? I should check that out.
Yeah, check it.
Are you going?
I think I'll be somewhere that night.
Yeah.
I think I already checked. It's coming up soon. Like, it might even be this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Or it might be during the middle of the week. It's a big event.
Yeah. There's a lot of things going on this weekend. But that's okay. I'll check with them. I'll check. Maybe I'll give them a ring today and, you know, see what's going on. I'll check in. And, yeah, I like those guys a lot. I mean, Susie got me into – she was the district rep for the state of Connecticut when I was racing my bike. After Joe Tosi, it was Sue.
Yes.
Sue Daniello.
Yep.
And it was, you know, she gave me the green light on the cyclocross race. She said, you want to do what?
Is that right?
And I said, yeah, I want to put on this race because there aren't any races and I need a race. And she said, well, what do you mean you need it? I said, I want to race my bike and there's no race, so I'm going to create my own. She goes, okay, you can do that.
So you've been doing that long. How many years have you been doing that?
1983.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
So I see this weekend is Thompson.
KMC CrossFest, and Thompson. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's down to one day.
It is down to one day. There's a number of things going on there, but
I understand, they're lucky to be back at all.
I can't disclose anything because I have some inside information.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know Richard, and I am kept in on the loop of Richard's future plans, and there are some future plans. That's all I can say.
Well,
but and
the new bike trail is going to extend all the way up to Thompson.
Oh yeah, I know. Well, you know, this is a cool thing. I talked about this on the radio on the Wayne Norman show yesterday. The section between Pomfret Station and Putnam is now complete as far as the water and sewer lines go. So that the way that project was working is that they were putting in a water sewer project from Pomfret Center because of the big schools out there. They couldn't do septic systems anymore, I guess.
Right, right.
And so they decided that the best way to get the piping back and forth was through the rail trail, the airline trail, because it's flat.
Okay.
Right. So, you know, you got this 2%. You know, or less grade that you're dealing with. So that project went in. There's five bridges going into that project, four of which I think go underneath roads.
Yes.
Okay. And the fifth one, if I'm not incorrect, I'm pretty sure I got this. The fifth one will be at Route 169, and it will cross 169, like a big arcing bridge that goes over the top of 169, which is good because it's a really dangerous crossing right there because cars come around blindly on the corner there on 169. So there's going to be that, and that's going to connect basically Putnam with Portland. That's where we're at right now on the airline trail. So, which is like amazing to me. And then there's a small segment you have to get off of in Putnam, and then you can pick up another 5 mile section that goes up into Thompson,
right,
and goes right to the corner into the border. And if you're into adventure riding, you can go up there. And there's I was told pretty much a walking trail that is off of that you can walk out, and you can see the pinpoint where Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island all come together. So there's a corner pin there.
I heard rumors of a craft brewery being built right at the very end of that trail right there.
Well, there's a lot of things going on in Putnam.
Yeah.
Putnam's got a lot going on, I wouldn't surprise me if something would be going on there.
Right.
And, of course, there's a craft brewery in Willimantic, too. So if you can't get it there, you can always come down to Willimantic, and you can hang out there. It is a major haunt of cyclists, by the way.
Yeah.
I know the owner of that establishment, and he loves people on bicycles because he said they don't come one at a time. He said they come in groups.
That's true.
And they spend a lot of money with him, and he's really excited by that. So,
and if you're on a bike trail, you know, instead of being out in the public, makes life a little easier.
Yep, it does. It does. There's a group out of Southbridge, Mass. They ride out of Southbridge Bikes, and they drove down to Pomfret Station one day, hopped onto the rail trail, the airline trail, rode down to Willie Brew, had lunch, a couple beers, hopped on their bikes, rode back. There were 22 of them.
Sweet.
So David is very, very happy with what he sees in the bicycle community coming to his store, to his restaurant and establishment, because he gets a lot of business from them. So it's a good thing. It's all a very, very good thing. So let's go back and recap what you're doing here and what you're about the Irish tour. And
okay, great.
Let's just go over everything here so we make sure we get this all in before the end of the show.
Sure. Coming up in June 7th to 13th is the Tour of Ireland reunion ride with Phil Liggett in southwestern Ireland. The deadline for signing up is quickly approaching to reserve rooms in the future. So the deadline to sign up for a deposit, which is, you know, refundable to a certain point, is coming up this Saturday. Mm-hmm. We have like 5 spots open. And if you're a little bit late, we'll stretch it. But that's available. And I'm available to speak about the history of the race that we rode in 1973. We were the first fully sponsored team to go ride in Europe. And they didn't give us a chance.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't think we were going to do well. And Phil Liggett was the commissar that many years ago.
Really?
Yes. And
wow.
He invited us on the spot when it was over. He said, "You guys are all too old, but I have to invite you because of your performance to come ride the milk race the very next year."
Oh, my God. The milk race is huge.
So we opened up the doors in one event because Howie got third. Alice was fifth. I almost won a stage one day. And we did really well, and they didn't expect it.
Right.
So, and I've stayed in touch with Phil all these years. He realizes the significance of it, and he's going out of his way to come over and join us for a couple days of riding and telling stories. So,
well, it would be a hoot just to hang with Phil Liggett.
I swear.
Because, you know, I mean, he's got to be a colorful character.
Oh, he is, and you realize who's carrying the history. When I sat down and had lunch with him in Stamford in September when I got back, and he started telling me stories, you're going, oh, my God, not only was he there, he was riding then, he was promoting then, he's been carrying the walking encyclopedia.
Yeah, yeah.
The stories on Kelly, well, you know, when Pat McQuaid came to the reunion and Pat and I were talking, we were out late at night, and as the trip is about ready to wind up and I'm flying home, I'm out late at night with Pat McQuaid drinking in Dublin. He says to me, "Billy," he says, "what's your flight tomorrow to Boston?" I said, "It's 11 o'clock. He goes, "I believe my daughter is the co-pilot."
No way.
She's been flying for Aer Lingus for like 10 years. Let me see if I says, "Can she do anything for me?" Well, wouldn't you know, the next day I'm all hungover. I'm in the airport. My phone rings and it's Pat. And he says, "Billy, what's your seat number? What's your flight number?" She upgraded me to first class for the return trip home.
Nice.
Yes, I'm telling you, the vibes were incredible.
That's great. That's great.
And all the people,
the bicycle world, huh?
And all the people that were on that trip, not all of them, you know, they are all still friends, and they're all commenting on Facebook and going to each other's Christmas parties, and they didn't even know each other till we all got together and did this trip together.
What a great time.
Yeah.
What a great time. So we've got a link through my my Facebook page, and so if you need to get a hold of Bill, you can get a hold of him through me if you wish, or once again, your contact information is?
BillBikeGuy@gmail.com.
Okay, BillBikeGuy@gmail.com. Hey, I got the bike guy here. Always a good time, Bill. It was great to have
Absolutely.
You here.
Thank
we'll
you.
Do it again because it's fun. It's fun. We just kind of get off on our little tangents here and have some fun with it. But anyway, I'm going to go over a couple more things before I end up our show here today. We've got the calendar in front of us. Kind of a busy weekend coming up. It is the KMC CrossFest this weekend, and the KMC CrossFest is in Thompson, Connecticut. It is a one-day event on November 23rd, and you can find out more about that on Bike Reg. Also, there is an interesting little ride in Rhode Island called the Grinchy Grimley's Gravel Grind Biathlon. And so it's Grinchy Grimley because it's Jim Grimley who's putting this on and Liz Allen, they're putting this on. And you can find out about it on Facebook. I have a link there also for you. The admission is to bring a new toy. And it is basically to help kids around the holidays as far as that goes. So it's a cool thing. It is a biathlon. And I do believe that it is mostly dirt roads, gravel grinder style. So that's kind of a cool thing. And you can check that out. On November 25th, I told Tony I would reach out on this one, just so you know, is the 2019 Northeast Multimodal and Transit Summit. And again, I have a link on Facebook on this. It's hosted by the Transport Hartford Academy. They're on the Tuesday, the 26th, there's a free breakfast with the summit's keynote speaker, Charles Brown. He's going to be talking about cyclovias and open street projects and why they are awesome. So that's another thing there. And let's see, sent me one last little thing here at the very end here. Organizing a tactical urbanism bike tour on Sunday, November 24th, ahead of the summit. 1 p.m. start time from New Haven's Union Station. Bring your bike or ride a free bike, New Haven Bike Share bike. Helmets are required. Again, go to Facebook for that. My name is Pedalin' Ron, and you have been listening to Bicycle Talk with my co-host, Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you've been listening to this live or on podcast and you'd like to comment, you can send an email to bicycletalk1@gmail.com, and you can also listen to more and past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org or on iTunes. If you have a comment or would like to contribute information to the show or be on the show as a guest, yay, we like guests, you can send an email to bicycletalk1@gmail.com. This is Pedalin' Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Storrs.